Welcome back to the Turley Frequency with host Kevin Turley. The phone lines are open, so call now at 888-928-0881. That's 888-928-0881 and share with us your thoughts and prayer intentions as we navigate this complicated world together. And now your host of the Turley Frequency, Kevin Turley.
Yes, welcome back. It's so good to have your company on this Tuesday morning. I hope your Tuesday morning is going well. It was very interesting listening to what Dr. Paul Kengor had to say about slavery, its history, and also its modern relevance. I don't know about you, but when I hear about children being trafficked and all the publicity around films like Sound of Freedom, etc., it can get a little bit depressing, right? It can get us all a little bit down that these evils are still very much prevalent in today's world. Well, rather than getting depressed about these things, it's probably best to pick up our rosary beads and to pray. Pray the rosary, or as we do it this time every single day, we pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet. And today we'll definitely be praying for all victims of trafficking, wherever they may be. Now, in this little radio apostolate, I'm accompanied each day by a prayer warrior. So let's find out today who is our prayer warrior.
In the studio with us, Kevin, we have Miss Jennifer Allbritton and her sons, Davis and Harris.
Wow, we got the full compliment. Jennifer, welcome back, and welcome Davis and Harris.
Thank you. It's so good to be back.
Thank you, too.
So I guess, Davis and Harris, you guys, you're on vacation at the moment from school, right?
Yes, sir, we are.
Yes, sir.
Time's running out, though.
Sorry, Reed?
Time is running out, though. Only about 2 more weeks, I think.
Yeah, right around 2 weeks.
Dear.
And our summer will be over, and we'll be starting a brand new school year.
Oh, dear. Davis and Harris, how do you feel about that? Do you wake up in the middle of the night sort of panicking, thinking the school bell's ringing again?
Probably. Well, I mean, I'm happy to go back, but I'm also sad that my summer's ending.
Same.
That's right. Well,
I will miss my cat.
I guess... Exactly. Well, you're absolutely right to bring that up. Of course, when you're young, you've got all your friends at school, and you quite look forward to going back and spending time with them and seeing your teachers again. I'm sure your education is a much more pleasant experience than mine was. Jennifer, is it a very busy time in the Allbritton house with everybody home?
Oh, we have not stopped all summer, Kevin. It's been great. We have seen family, friends. We've gone on little mini vacations. We've had camps. We've really enjoyed the summer and just enjoyed spending time together, but it's getting time for them to go back.
That's right. But it sounds like a very special time for the family.
Oh, it's been amazing. I love spending time with these boys. They are my husband and I's world, and I have just soaked up all the time I can with them, on a day-to-day basis, and just really enjoyed it.
It sounds absolutely wonderful. And boys, I'm sure you've really enjoyed spending your time with your mom and with your family, and just a different regime for a few weeks, right?
Yes, sir.
That's great. Are they always as quiet, Jennifer?
Oh no, never. My youngest, I pick him up from school, and he doesn't stop talking. And I asked his teacher one day last year, and I was like, "Does he talk a lot at school?" And she said, "Never." I think he saves it all up for when he gets home. And I'm a talker, so they do get it honestly.
Well, there's a time for talking and a time for being silent, and there's a time for praying as well. So, boys, I'm assuming you have come fully armed and ready for the action today. You've got your rosary beads with you?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
That's wonderful. And now I know you've been on the show before and you've prayed with me before, which is great. So you know this prayer and you know how it works, right? Don't you?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Now, could one of you or both of you, I tell you what, could you take it in turns? What I'd like you to do, because at this point, I always, just before we start, I always tell our audience the two ways in which they can contact the show, okay, via the telephone or via the text. And I'm sure Reed has the numbers for you there. I hope he has. if one of you could say the number, say if anybody would like to call in their requests, I'll say that, and then you say the number, and then I'll say, or if you prefer, you'd like to text in, and then whoever's left will say the text number. Could you do that for me?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Reed, are we fully fully loaded on that one.
Yes, Kevin, I think we are.
Okay, so listen, you've got Jennifer, Davis, and Harris praying for you today. What more do you need? I'm extra to requirements. I'm here. I'm helping. But these three are going to do it for you today. So listen, if you want them to pray for you, there's two ways in which you can contact the show. You can call us on
1-888-938-0881.
Yep, it was 928-0881. You can call us on that, or you can text us. Text me direct on
251-928-7111.
That's 2-1-1-1.
I think it's 2-1-1-1. But yeah, we really don't have anything posted in the actual studio to read for him, Kevin. But
we might need to work.
The audience will remember the numbers even better now that we made the mistakes. That was all planned, folks. I spoke to Harris and Davis beforehand. That was all planned. So you would remember 888-928-0881 or text 251-928-2111. Okay, well, boys and Jennifer, shall we begin?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Okay. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. And on the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting.
Amen. Okay, so we're going to do it three decades. Going to start with your mummy boys, with Jennifer. She's going to have the first decade, and then I will move to both of you after that for a decade each. Is that okay?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Have the boys come with lots of intentions? You got them all ready?
I've got them all ready. We discussed it last night and this morning, so fingers crossed.
Wonderful. Okay, well, for this first decade, Jennifer, let's turn to you. And who and what would you like us to pray for?
I would like to pray for my family, my husband and I, and my two boys, that we weather every storm together, we stay close in faith and our commitment to each other, and make God the center of our lives, and let him guide us through everything we go through.
I think that's a beautiful prayer, Jennifer. If it's not too personal, may I ask the Christian name of your husband?
It's Russell Albritton.
Russell. Okay, well, we'll definitely pray for Russell. We'll have to get him in someday, Jennifer, and have him on the show as well. Have the whole family. Wouldn't it be great?
Oh, I'd love it.
Now, as you know, this show is dedicated or under the protection of St. Joseph, and St. Joseph is a great protector of families, be they radio families like ours or the All Britain family. So let's ask St. Joseph as well in this decade to pray for each and every one of you, and we'll ask our Blessed Mother as well to keep an eye on everybody at this time in this month of July. I think it's a beautiful prayer, Jennifer, and I'm delighted to get everybody together to pray for this little family, which I'm sure are doing so much good in witnessing to what a Catholic family should be.
We are sure trying our best.
It's all we can do.
Yes.
We can try, and the Lord does the rest.
Absolutely. We've had to put a lot of things in His hands lately, and He has guided us in the right direction, and it's just been a blessing to have my Catholic Christian faith and Him to turn to.
Absolutely. The one thing, Jennifer, that you and I will know as we're getting older is that He is the one who never lets us down.
Ever. And I've been so reminded by that, really, the last several months in church, just, you know, the homilies and the readings and, you know, how they, you know, bring our faith in God. You know, obviously God is always first in everything we do, but, you know, if you turn to Him, and give your, you know, give up your thoughts, your worries, your love. It's amazing what He can do for you in just mind and spirit and heart. I've truly leaned on Him a lot lately, and, you know, feeling the fruits of His in my labor.
Absolutely. Well, let's give thanks for all of that, Jennifer. Let's give thanks, and let's give thanks for God's continuing graces and protection to this family at this time.
Amen.
As we say, Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of His sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of His sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of His sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of His sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of His sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of His sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of His sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of His sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of His sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of His sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
That is wonderful. Thank you so much, Jennifer, Davis, and Harris. Okay, I'm turning now to Davis for the second decade. Davis, who or what would you like us to pray for?
I would like to pray for the end of abortion, and that my family will be kept, that can be kept safe.
That's wonderful. So let's pray for that. Let's pray for an end to abortion in the United States and beyond. Let's pray for a change of hearts and minds. Rather than praying for a negative, Davis, would you have any objection if we pray that people become more understanding of the sanctity of life? Because once you realize what's involved, you can only be pro-life, right?
Yes, sir.
So let's pray for a real change of hearts. For those people who think they are helping women by having abortion available, we pray that they will really understand that they're not helping anybody. And instead, let's pray for a culture of life to really take hold in the United States. Because what happens today in the United States, Davis, it comes to Europe tomorrow. And the good things that are happening in the United States will impact on me and others as well.
Oh, my goodness. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay, let's pray for this. Thank you, Davis. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of His sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of His sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of His sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
for the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you very much, Davis, Jennifer, and Harris. Okay, for this third mystery, third decade, let's turn to Harris. Harris, welcome back. Who or what would you like us to be praying for?
Davis's leg.
Davis's leg? Tell me more.
He broke it. No, he didn't break it. He bruised it.
I actually ran into a tree.
At about like 10 p.m. in the night.
Yes, he ended up with a sublocation of his kneecap, which means
it really
dislocated
painful?
And it popped itself back in.
So, Davis, we don't need to amputate today or anything like that, do we?
No, sir.
That's one thing that I am not willing to do for the Turley Frequency, Kevin.
We've done it before in Archangel Radio. I don't know why you're being so queasy about it, Reed. But no, we're very glad, Harris, to pray for Davis's knee today. That's a very good intention. Let's pray for the whole of Davis, though, as well. Let's pray for the rest of his body and mind. But also, let's pray for you as well, Harris, today. Let's pray. Do you have any aches or ailments today, Harris? You feeling okay?
I have two more.
You've two more intentions. Oh, sorry, forgive me. Keep going.
I want to pray for my grandma.
Mm-hmm.
And
now, what's your grandma's name? I remember you praying for her before, and I forgot her name. What's her name?
Her name is Barbara.
That was it, Barbara. I remember.
Yeah. The boys call her Choo Choo.
More like everyone.
Why do you?
We call her Choo Choo, but I think everyone calls her Choo Choo.
Yeah, that's pretty true.
Is that because she was a train driver?
No. That's a long story, and I really don't want to tell it.
Actually, it's a very short story.
Okay, it's too long a story. It's too far down the track for us this morning, Harris, the choo-choo story.
Yes.
So we're gonna pray for Davis's knee, and we're going to pray for your grandma, Barbara. And you've got a third one, right?
I do. I'm going to pray for my mom's really good friend, Mr. Jim, and his eye gets better.
That's right. You prayed for Mr. Jim's eye before. Has there been any improvements on that front?
There actually has. He's going through chemo right now, and they say it's he's got cancer of the eye, and they say it's shrinking. So we're very hopeful that this resolves itself.
Oh, that's great. That's fantastic news. Well, look, Harris, we're definitely going to pray for Mr. Jim's eye. We're going to pray that the tumor disappears. We're going to pray for a miracle here this morning live on air and ask the Lord to intercede for Mr. Jim through Harris and all our prayers this morning to remove this tumor and restore his sight so that he can see once more the goodness of God. Any more intentions, Harris?
No, sir.
Okay. Now, I'm going to come back to you for the fifth decade, so you might want to have a little think about somebody or something you want to pray for, okay? Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
And atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you very much, Harris, Davis, and Jennifer. Now, we've had a text in while we've been on air, and it comes from our good friend Richard. Good morning to you, Richard. Richard texts in quite often because Richard is concerned about his beloved daughter, Catherine. And tomorrow, Wednesday, Catherine is receiving her third chemo treatment. And Richard's asking for prayers so that she continues to tolerate well and have no serious or long-lasting side effects on account of the chemo. Richard goes on to say in his text, her spirit is so beautiful. She thanks you all for the prayers. They are working. We thank you also and unite our prayers with yours. God bless and Godspeed. Catherine's total healing.
Amen.
Well, Richard, you're not going to have any complaint or any argument this end from myself, Harris, Davis, or Jennifer. We're definitely going to lift up our beads and pray this decade for Catherine's complete recovery. Not just that the chemo will go well, but that she will completely come through this episode. And through it, both she and you and your wife will learn of the great mercy of God. Scripture says it's unfathomable. It is so deep, and we're asking for that mercy to be extended over Catherine as a protection today. And in this month of a month dedicated to the precious blood of Jesus, we also ask that the precious blood of our Lord and Savior come into this situation and wash away from Catherine's body all that cancer. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
And atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you very much. Now I'm going to come around you all and get final words, final intentions, and we'll go in reverse order. We'll start with Harris, then Davis, and then we'll come back to you, Jennifer, for the very last word, as is suitable for a mother. But before we do, I want to ask Davis and Harris just a very quick question. Let's start with you, Davis. Davis, do you believe in miracles?
Yes, sir.
Good. Harris, what about you?
I do believe in miracles, and they can happen.
Amen. You've taught these boys so well, Jennifer.
Thank you so much. It is important to me to just get them stronger in their faith and closer to God. And, you know, I teach every day that, you know, God can help us in anything and everything we need. And that we only need to, you know, reach out to him and give him our happiness, our sorrows, our worries, and just have faith in him that, you know, he will show us the way.
He will. Absolutely. And miracles do happen. And we've even had some on this show, and we'll have some more. So stick around. Let's start. If you don't mind, Harris, we're going to come to you first. Now, this is the last decade, so maybe you haven't got something prepared, but maybe somebody or something has come into your mind in these last 30 minutes. And we'll just pray for one thing. It can be a little thing, a big thing. It can be your dog, your cat, a horse. It can be your friends at school, teachers, anything like that. So who or what would you like us to pray for in this fifth and final decade, Harris?
I want to pray for my aunt Denise.
Yeah.
And,
Okay. Okay, Denise, we'll pray for her. Denise, if you're listening, young Harris is praying for you. We've got us all the Archangel Radio family praying for you and your intentions today, Denise. Whatever your needs are, God knows what they are. We will pray for them today. Fantastic. Thank you, Harris. Davis, over to you.
I would like to pray for my mom and her shoulder. She's going into her second rotator cuff surgery, so it's been reversed.
Now, Jennifer, you didn't tell me about that. That's terrible. Second rotator cuff. Wow.
Yes, it's been no fun. I had it end of last August, and something went wrong, so I am having to do it again September 1st. So I will definitely need all your prayers. All your prayers.
You've got them. I mean, you know, I had a bad shoulder injury a few years ago. So anybody who's got shoulder injuries, get top priority on this show. But rotator cuffs are really, really painful.
Yes.
So we're going to pray today. Thank you, Davis, for alerting me to this. We're going to pray very much for that shoulder. Which shoulder is it, Jennifer?
It's the right one, my dominant one.
Okay, so we're going to pray for this shoulder now. We're going to pray for it very much in this decade. We're going to pray for a miracle. We're going to pray that you're not going to need that operation in September, that you are going to be healed of whatever it is that you're suffering from at this time, if it be God's will. And if it's not God's will, that the pain will subside and you'll be able to offer up the pain for lots and lots of very good people and do a lot of effective apostolate through your ongoing sufferings.
Thank you so much.
Okay. That was Davis's last word, but the final word stays with you, Jennifer. Who or what would you like us to pray for in this last decade?
I would like to pray for all the students, the faculty and staff of Christ the King. I know I do
right.
that often, but, you know, here we are at, you know, the beginning of a new school year, and we're so thankful to be a part of that community and that school, and I just want to offer everyone a happy, healthy, and educational year.
That sounds like a wonderful intention. Christ the King School and Christ the King Parish have been so interactive with us here on the show. It's been wonderful. They really are a beautiful set of people. Is Christ the King your parish, Jennifer? Remind me.
Yes, sir. It sure is.
Wonderful parish, and so many wonderful prayer warriors have emerged from there.
Yeah, we've been
so let's lift up the school. Let's lift up all the teachers, all the pupils, everybody who's returning. And we pray that the Holy Spirit will give wisdom and love to everybody involved.
Amen.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. O my Jesus,
I trust in you.
O my Jesus,
I trust in you.
O my Jesus,
I trust in you.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Jennifer, Davis, and Harris, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy vacation schedule and coming in and praying with us all here today on Archangel Radio.
Once again, it's our pleasure.
You're welcome.
And Davis and Harris, I hope you don't get too much attention when you get back to school. We'll be asking you how come your stars on the radio and all your schoolmates are not.
Well, we hope to bring more in. I think it's great to get the children involved.
Yes. That's the only way they're going to deal with it, Harris and Davis. You realize that. You'll say, well, look, you'll have to go on the show yourself. I can't help you. Have a wonderful Tuesday, whatever you get up to, and be very good to your mom today. She's a wonderful woman.
Thank you so much.
We will.
Jennifer, we'll see you again at some point.
Absolutely. I think I'm doing this again in the next week or so. So I truly look forward to this.
Yes,
you're always welcome.
Thank you so much.
Okay, that was the All Britain family from All Alabama. Wonderful. So good to have them on the show. When we come back, we're going to be changing gears. We're going to be talking about sharks and sharks caught off the coast of Alabama. Stay tuned to the Turley Frequency here live and exclusive on Archangel Radio. Welcome back to the Turley Frequency here, live and exclusive on Archangel Radio. It's great to have your company this Tuesday morning. I hope it is going well wherever you are and whatever you're doing. Now, you may remember that it was just last week that we talked with Matt Glass. Do you remember? He was one of the organizers of the Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo. Well, there's been a lot of news coverage about that, and one lucky angler caught a massive 1,000-pound tiger shark during this year's rodeo. I know. I've seen the footage, and the thing looks absolutely enormous. Not something you'd want to have swimming alongside you, I don't think. But to find out more about tiger sharks and sharks and marine life in general off the coast of Alabama at this time of year, I'm delighted to welcome back Marcus Dryman. Dr. Marcus Dryman is Assistant Extensions Professor at Mississippi State University and a Marines Fishery Specialist with the Mississippi-Alabama Sea Grant. He's originally from central Kentucky, which is a long way from the sea, but his family and he have lived off the Gulf Coast for about 15 years now, and he considers it home. Dr. Marcus, welcome back to the Turley Frequency.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here, and thank you for having me.
Dr. Marcus, what did you make when you saw the news reports about this huge 1,000-pound tiger shark caught at this year's rodeo?
Well, you know, we've been fortunate enough to work with the Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo for many years right now. So it was our pleasure. We were there at the tournament sampling these sharks. And when I saw that shark weighed in, I was absolutely dumbfounded, as you might imagine. It was just a massive individual. And, you know, for certain, it was my first opportunity to be able to examine in detail up close a female tiger shark that was that big.
Now, just for those of us that are not familiar with tiger sharks, I mean, roughly what size would your average female tiger shark be? What sort of poundage are we talking?
You know, they get very large. Tiger sharks get very large indeed. Females can grow, you know, upwards of 4 meters. So they get very large. But we routinely see them here in the Gulf of Mexico around 3 meters in length. But once they reach that certain size, around 3 meters, the females just get fatter and fatter and fatter, larger and larger. So they put on a lot of girth and not so much length. But, you know, we're fortunate enough here in the northern Gulf of Mexico to see tiger sharks ranging from the small, just born tiger sharks to the mature males and females.
Now, I'm glad to hear that the Alabama rodeo went very well and is obviously you're working with that. But the same can't be said for all such endeavors. I notice there's been some concerns expressed about this type of activity.
Yeah, There has indeed, yes. And so I imagine that the concerns expressed are well-intentioned. We know that sharks have been historically overfished. But in the United States, thanks to successful management measures put in place by NOAA Fisheries, we have a history of the past 30 years that demonstrate that these shark populations are rebuilding, albeit slowly. So species like tiger sharks and bull sharks are absolutely legal to land commercially or recreationally. And individuals, large individuals like this, give us scientists a unique glimpse into the population status of these species, especially tiger sharks. We are preparing to do a stock assessment for that species next year. So having samples from individuals like that will allow us to determine their age and their growth and the reproductive rates and their fecundity and a host of other information that's valuable for the stock assessment process.
Yes, you're starting to intrigue me, Dr. Marks, in the sense that through the study of one particular shark type, you can probably extrapolate a lot of information about the ecosystem and the health of that ecosystem on the off the Gulf Coast, right?
Yes, that's a fact. So let's just talk about age and growth, for example. And that's one of the foundational, fundamental aspects of an age-based stock assessment, which is exactly how this species will be assessed next year. So we use samples that we've been collecting for many years and samples that our collaborators have been collecting for many years to be able to determine the age of these individual tiger sharks. And specifically, the samples I'm talking about are vertebra. And so obviously to sample a vertebra from an individual requires the euthanization of that individual. But in the instance of this particular tiger shark that was brought in, that female represents one of the older individuals in the population. So it gives us an idea as to the maximum age of these individuals. And while, you know, I understand one could argue that it's sad to see a large, mature female tiger shark being killed like that, if they are going to be killed, it is absolutely critical that we gather as much information from each individual as possible.
And I guess, Dr. Marcus, you work with the rodeo for specimens like this so that they can also be used for the advance of scientific knowledge about the coastline and what's lying off it in the waters.
That's exactly right. So we have worked, both myself and Dr. Powers at the University of South Alabama, have worked closely with the Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo for 15 years now, and even longer than that, that predate me. They've been working with Dr. Shipp for many decades. And specifically, we collect a multitude of different types of information. Of course, my particular interest is on the sharks and the rays, and we've been sampling those for many years. But we've also gained really important insights into species like red snapper, red drum, jack crevalle, gaff topsail catfish. I mean, the list just goes on and on and on. And so we're very, very fortunate that such a large, well-established tournament like the Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo has such a strong working relationship with fisheries scientists like us on the coast.
You're listening to the voice of Dr. Marcus Dryman, who is Assistant Extension Professor at Mississippi State University and a Marine Fisheries Specialist with the Mississippi-Alabama Sea Grant. A couple of questions for you coming in here. I don't know if you can answer these, Dr. Marcus. One saying, does Dr. Marcus know anything about the alligator currently swimming around Dauphin Island?
That's funny. I do. I have heard about that alligator. He's been there most of the summer. You know, alligators are capable of occupying habitats that have some degree of salt in their water, so it's not completely out of the norm to see an alligator around Dauphin Island, but it is funny. I have seen that alligator myself, so I'm familiar with that individual.
And presumably he's friendly, or he hasn't done anybody any harm at the moment.
That's correct.
Another question here then. Where are the sharks in the water during the summer months? So I guess it's maybe asking, where is the best vantage point maybe to observe these wonderful creatures?
That's a really good question. So as it turns out, during the summer months, many of these shark species spend a lot of their time close to shore. And so as people flock to the beaches during the summer months to spend time in the surf zone, it's a pretty good time to be able to see some of the incredible diversity of sharks we have here off the coast of Alabama and Mississippi, from things like bonnet head sharks and black tip sharks to things like tiger sharks and hammerheads. We have an extraordinary diversity of these species in our area, and summertime is a great time to see those individuals off our coast.
Now, sticking with Dauphin Island, we've got a lot of questions here for Dauphin Island. Somebody's saying that they did not see any stingrays out there. And is this something to do with the water temperatures? Any views on that, Dr. Marcus?
Yes, absolutely. I was at the beach myself with my children yesterday, and I saw an angler catch a stingray off the beach. Certainly, when I teach my sharks and rays class at the Dauphin Island Sea Lab, we catch many, many small stingrays, which I'm very pleased to be able to show the students. We have several different species, from the Atlantic stingray to the southern stingray to the blunt nose ray to the electric ray to the cow nose ray to the butterfly ray. So lots and lots of rays off our coast, and they're there this year. Maybe they just might be a little harder to see than normal.
Right, so nothing to worry about on that score. They may turn up again. Follow-up question to the alligator one. Should we be frightened?
By the alligator? No, I wouldn't. And I would just give the same advice that I give for people when they see a shark in the water, which is to, you know, give it a wide berth. But, you know, take pictures and enjoy seeing one of nature's great creatures. You know, certainly we travel in the United States, we travel to our national parks to get a glimpse of the fantastic wildlife, which includes, you know, bears and things of that nature. So just as people go to those parks to see bears, I would suggest that when people see sharks or alligators along our coast, that they just enjoy that opportunity.
I'm not sure the word enjoy, Dr. Marcus, is the first thing that would come into my mind, but I take your point. Once the panic subsides, I think I would probably enjoy it. A question here going back to the rodeo. Why did you decide to allow sharks to be caught for the rodeo season?
Yeah, I'm glad someone asked that question because there's a bit of confusion around that. I did not make that decision. I am not the organizer of the tournament. The Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo is. But when the Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo decides that they want to have a shark category, they do ask me which would be the most reasonable sharks to allow into that category. And look at their population status in the Gulf of Mexico. There's no doubt that tiger sharks and bull sharks were the most appropriate choices for that category. So it's a bit of a misunderstanding that is my decision. It certainly is not. That's a decision made by the Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo.
Well, thank you for clarifying that, Dr. Marcus. Now, this might be a little bit beyond your scientific research, but there's a question here. I'll just sum it up. It's asking about the ocean water temperatures. And are they linked to, or do they have any relationship to, hurricanes?
Oh, absolutely. So we know that hurricanes are a product of warm water. Warm water is the key ingredient that creates a hurricane, which is why in the northern Gulf of Mexico, our hurricane season starts around June 1 and goes through nearly the end of the year. So it is very reasonable to speculate that as water temperatures continue to gradually increase, we should expect to see an increase in both the number and the severity of coastal storms, including hurricanes. So yes, there's a very clear link between warm water temperatures and hurricanes.
Thank you very much for answering all those questions. There's been another one. There's a 1,000-pound shark in Mobile Bay, somebody said. I had no idea. So that's the other thing, Dr. Marcus. I mean, again, for somebody with very little knowledge about this, are sharks seasonal in the sense that there are periods of time when they'll be very evident along the Gulf Coast? And then do they head off somewhere else for the winter months, or do they migrate to a different part of the country? How does it sort of work for the sharks?
Yes, so that's a really great question. And the answer is it's a bit complicated. It's different for every species of shark. We know that some species are more or less resident in our area year-round. And it's also very clear that some species move out of our area, and that's primarily a function of the water temperature. So as the water temperature is cool or warm, sharks will move or change their distribution in response. So for example, in November and December and January, when the water dips below about 20 or 18 degrees Celsius, we expect not to see any sharks in our coastal environment. You know, conversely, when the water exceeds about 30 degrees Celsius, we know that that's too warm and that sharks will move out of those areas to avoid thermal stress. So each individual species of shark has a different thermal preference and a different thermal tolerance, but it is very clear that these animals move in response to those environmental cues.
So is it too simplistic to talk about a shark season?
Perhaps a little bit. That said, another thing that really drives the distribution of these sharks are seasonal movements of their preferred prey. So it is fair to say that when, you know, menhaden or Spanish mackerel or mullet are in big schools up near the coastline, that will influence the distribution of these sharks. So in that sense, it is fair to say that there is, you know, there are seasons where we expect to see higher abundances than others.
And finally, Dr. Markson, thank you so much for your time this morning. Anything in the last, in this season, if I can call it that colloquially, that has really sort of been intrigued you, or something which has come out of the norm, out of the usual, that has really piqued your scientific interest?
Absolutely. You know, I think we're in a very interesting time in history, especially in the United States, where these shark populations have finally started to recover after years of overexploitation. And what that's led to is a lot of a specific human wildlife conflict called depredation. So as we see these shark populations continue to increase, as we see more and more recreational anglers on the water trying to catch fish, this interaction where an angler hooks up to a fish and before the fish can be landed on the boat, the shark swims by and takes a bite out of it, that interaction is expected to increase. So that's something that I get a lot of questions about, and something that we're actively researching at this very moment.
Okay. Listen, Dr. Markus, thank you so much for your time this morning, and it's been really enlightening. I really enjoy these discussions because it sort of busts so many myths about sharks. You know, I mean, I grew up watching Jaws, I'm afraid, so that's what I put it all down to. But listen, tell people where they can find out the truth about sharks and learn more about your work and the wonderful world that is just off the coast of Alabama.
Yeah, absolutely. So we maintain a very active social media presence on Facebook and Instagram. We're the Marine Fisheries Ecology Group at Mississippi State University. And of course, all of our peer-reviewed scientific publications are available on our website, which you can find simply by Googling Mississippi State University Marine Fisheries Ecology. So I would encourage folks to check that out to get up-to-date science-based facts about sharks.
Just before you go, Dr. Markus, we have one last question that come in. Has Dr. Markus actually seen Jaws? ?
That's a great question. So I did not when I was a child. I wasn't allowed to because it's a scary movie. But as a young adult and many times thereafter, I've certainly watched Jaws. As someone who was fascinated with sharks as a young boy and as an older man, I watch everything I can related to sharks, including the movie Jaws.
That's wonderful. Dr. Markus, thank you for being such a good sport. That was Dr. Markus Dreiman, who is the Assistant Extension Professor at Mississippi State University and a marine fishery specialist with Mississippi Alabama Sea Grant, and is fast becoming our shark expert here on the Turley Frequency. So now, moving from sharks in the water to sharks in Hollywood, I'm going to find out from our producers here who I am told went to see a film recently. And my heart is sinking because I'm wondering, was it Barbie? Was it Oppenheimer? Or could it have been Sound of Freedom? Well, let's find out.
Well, Kevin, despite the little joke that we played on you at the end of the show yesterday, we did end up going to see Sound of Freedom.
Really? Was that because Barbie had sold out?
Well, not exactly, at least at the theater that we went to.
Okay. So tell me, Sound of Freedom, is it as good as people are making out? Or some people, is it as bad as other people are claiming?
I mean, I thoroughly enjoyed it. I really do think it is as good as people, you know, are really clamoring about. And it was great to watch it with Mike and then talk to him about it afterwards. And there's a lot of great things to the film.
Well, first of all, tell me, I mean, Jim Caviezel, the star, movie star, good Catholic boy. I mean, is his performance as good as we're led to believe?
It really is. One of the things that I think he was very good at in this movie was it's obviously an extremely serious movie, but the moments that kind of provide some levity, they really do a good job with that. Like, and it's really Jim Caviezel who really conveys a little bit of that just relief, you know, take away of the heaviness of what we're covering.
Well, that's the thing, Reed, and I think I mentioned this before to you, that I have on my computer a screener for this movie, but I'm sort of building up to it. Do you know what I mean? I'm thinking, do I really want to watch a movie about child trafficking? I mean, it's not exactly something you're going to relax to, you know? Are my fears unjustified?
They really aren't, Kevin. There's a little bit at the end. Or excuse me, I should say they are unjustified. I mean, I really think there's a little bit of intensity really toward the end of the film. It gets a little intense there at the end, but really the just everything that it goes over with the trafficking, it's a very good plot, I thought, and it moves along in a very good movie way. Like, I know I'm kind of stumbling over my words here, but what I'm trying to say is basically the movie elements to this film are really just as core to how quality of a work it is than just the messaging. You know, the way everything moves along, his initial leads in order to find the family that he is, you know, pursuing to try to find the kids at the end of the movie. But one of the things that I really thought they did a great job with on the movie was really showing how trafficking, this is going to sound like a given, but like it completely ruined the kids' lives, you know, until they were restored.
Sure.
Like
yeah.
There's really nothing about their lives that was anything close to worthwhile living. And it's easy to kind of say, you know, they're being trafficked. You know, there's bad things happening and stuff like that. But when you watch this movie, it does really hit home that there's kind of no happiness whatsoever for the people that are going through this type of thing.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's really what I came away with.
Yeah, it's a total hell. I mean, is there any, are there redemptive features to the film? I mean, does religion, does our faith play a part in any aspect of the story?
It does a little bit. I think that's another thing that they did a really great job on was there's nothing that's really in your face in terms of religion or anything like that. But, you know, the themes and just some of the things that are said by the characters certainly promote godly, moralistic thinking. And then another thing that I wanted to just briefly point out was, like, the skill of some of the supporting actors. Like, obviously, Jim Caviezel did an amazing job, but Pompeo was one of the characters. I'm not exactly sure who the actor is, but he did a really incredible job, as well as the people who played those who were in Colombia and met up with Jim Caviezel's character to actually, you know, have the raid take place and everything. And then as well as the girl who played the victim, I thought She really did an excellent job in making the film a lot more compelling.
Well, you've certainly whetted my appetite for it, Reed. You've certainly intrigued me enough to maybe click that button and watch it on the computer.
I really liked it a lot, and there's some heaviness to it, but it definitely is an enjoyable film. You're not going to be just sitting there with a grimace the entire time.
That sounds like a recommendation.
Maybe. You know, the topic certainly deserves a grimace, but that's what I think is just so well done about this film.
Okay. Well, you heard it first here on Archangel Radio. Mr. Reed Hodges gave us a first-hand account of his experience of Sound of Freedom, and to be honest, it sounds like an intriguing and interesting film, although it's also a harrowing subject matter. There's nothing we can do about that.
Well, all right, Kevin. It's been a pretty broad range of topics today. We've had everything from, you know, the American or the Atlantic slave trade all the way to sharks in the Mobile Bay. So
we've been fishing in some very strange waters, that's for sure.
certainly have, Kevin. So I think we have Matthew Broderick coming up tomorrow.
Have we?
Oh, okay. Sorry, that. My executive producer slipped me a note, and it really confused me, but that's my fault.
I think tomorrow we might have Mike Church, the radio talk show legend, joining us to discuss the latest political shenanigans in D.C. and beyond. So listen, if you've enjoyed this show, and certainly Reed and I have enjoyed serving it up to you, let's do it all again, same time, same frequency, same me. And until then, may St. Joseph watch over you and all those you love, and until we meet again, may God bless you.